Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them, you are the gift of life. You are the gift of life. You are the gift of life. Yes, yes, yes. I hope all of you receive the gifts of your heart's desires. And I trust and pray that everyone had a wonderful Christmas. That's my prayer, that you were able to spend it with family and friends. Or even if it was a quiet Christmas, because sometimes those are beautiful too. You know, even if it was a quiet Christmas, I pray that perhaps you had time to reflect a little bit, to reflect upon the goodness of God, to reflect upon the tremendous gift of the Christ Spirit that was given us to us on Christmas morning, and that you had a moment to even reflect upon our own divinity that comes with this precious gift that is the Christ. You know, I know I drive around like some of you, and we see the different signs, and there are many folks who have the sign that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. We've all seen those, right? Yes, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I'm sure that they are placed there by very well-meaning and good-intentioned, good Christians who would say Jesus is the reason for the season. But, you know, I was reflecting and wondering, I wonder if they also understand the powerful message that he brought, not only of himself as the Son of God, but of our own divine sonship as well, as a joint heir to the kingdom of God. See, yes, Jesus is the reason for the season, but his message was far beyond just himself as the Son of God. His very coming had something to do with all of us, all people. And so I'm hoping that when that is affirmed, that there's a recognition that by his example and by his life and his expression and his demonstration of his own divinity, that we too would be able to somehow find our own way into the kingdom. That we would be able to find our own way into the kingdom by uncovering the very Spirit of God within us. God with us, Emmanuel, and within us. And that somehow we would also be able to understand that by his expression and his demonstration of that Christ Spirit, that when we touch and tap that very same Spirit that was in him, that when we touch that in us, we too can bring about heaven upon this earth. That we too can do greater works, right? So that to me is the message, part of the message. And I hope that people are able to glean that. Because in addition to the miraculous birth of Jesus is the coming of the Christ ideal. This coming of the Christ ideal to all people, for all people. That's the crux of this message on Christmas morning. It's the Christ ideal for all people, the Messiah, the appointed one, the anointed one who has come to show the way. And this is what is cause for celebration. That very notion of this Christ energy and spirit who has now come and incarnated into the presence of this babe, this child, that this was the reason why the heavenly hosts and the angels from heaven came down to rejoice and to sing praises, saying, glory to God in the highest of heavens, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. See, the light of God would now inhabit all men, all people, as the Christ. Do you get that? See, that's the good news, that the light of God would now inhabit all people as the Christ, because this is what's going to be our saving grace. This is what will enable us to move from or to evolve from merely being human beings into spiritual beings. This is what enables us to have a true understanding of ourselves and all people as spiritual children, sons and daughters of God of the Most High. And Jesus, as that Christ, would then lift up all humanity by his life, by his example, by his living, by his demonstration, by his affirmation, by his understanding of who he was and who we are. So that to me feels like the powerful Christmas message. Now, we have been for the month of December going over the Christmas story. And I thought that when we had the birth of Jesus, that that was going to be the end of the story. But as I continued to read my scriptures, I thought, it's not over yet. Not over yet. You see, because there were two more people in the story, in addition to, you know, to Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, two more people who recognized the significance of this inhabitants of the light of God in man as the Christ. And they were Simon or Simeon, sort of interchangeable. You can say Simeon or Simon, but he had an E in it, so I'll call him Simeon. Simeon and Anna. Now, these are two lesser known individuals, but they were privileged to bear witness to this great blessing that had come to humanity. This great leap, this evolutionary leap that we would now move from being mere human beings to being spiritual beings by honoring and holding and acknowledging the light of God in us, the Spirit of God in us as the Christ. Now, they come on the scene about 8 days after the birth of Jesus. And in the scriptures, the shepherds had just been approached by the angel, telling them, I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. They didn't say just some people or just the people in Jerusalem. Said, I'm bringing you, this is what the angels said, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so hearing that proclamation of the angels, they go, of course, and they see this miracle for themselves. And as they are gazing upon this precious sight, they also hear the proclamations of the angels because they have to just, now the angels are joined by a whole host of other angels. And all they can do is just sing praises. You ever feel that good where you could just sing praise? This is where your hallelujahs come from. When you feel so good. I was that way this morning. I was working on my talk and I just could feel the hallelujah chorus in my being. I was feeling that good, that grateful, that thankful, so overwhelming that my spirit could only just say, ooh, thank you, God. So the angels, the heavenly hosts, were given this proclamation about peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And so after having seen that and heard that, the shepherds then returned to their fields and doing their work. So let's pick up the story. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. This is 8 days later. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was a righteous man and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby to the Lord as required by law, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Now I can die in peace. As you promised me, I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. And he is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel." Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, "This child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. Thus, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher and was very old. She was a widow, for her husband had died when they had been married only 7 years. She was now 84 years old. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about Jesus to everyone who had been waiting for the promised king to come and deliver Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There, the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom beyond his years, and God placed him with his special favor upon him. And the next thing we read is he's 12 years old in the temple. So this could be the ending of that story, the Christmas story, because from then on he's now 12 in the temple teaching, and then from the next chapter he's a full-grown man entering into his work. So I thought, wow, this is so powerful, because both Simeon and Anna apparently were in the right place at the right time, right? And all of it was the result of Spirit's doing. Simeon was guided to go to the temple. It says that he was led by the Spirit to the temple. Now, he was a righteous man, a devout man. He went and practiced. He did all the spiritual things. But he was led that day to go to the temple. And we know the temple really is that symbol for your own inner being, your body, your heart, your mind, your soul, that dwelling place of God within you. So he was guided to go to the temple so that when Mary and Joseph happened to be there, he would be there at that right time in the right place, and he would be able to somehow see Jesus, see this wonderful Messiah. And again, I'm thinking, well, how did he know? As soon as he sees Jesus, he automatically knows this is the Messiah. And so he's there at that wonderful right time in the right place. Now, it says that he was righteous and that he was devout and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you are righteous, meaning that you have a right use of spiritual law. Whenever someone is righteous, they are using spiritual laws and spiritual principles rightly. And he was devout, a devout man, meaning he was committed and he was dedicated. He probably honored all of the traditions and did all the things that was necessary for him to do. And it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this being filled with the Holy Spirit, as I talked about in one of my previous talks, is very important, because every single one of the people in the Christmas story, save Herod, was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's being guided and directed. Now, he had expected said that he eagerly awaited, he expected and eagerly awaited the arrival of the Messiah. And it was, again, he was able to prophesy about Jesus' life, but he was actually there waiting and anticipating and being very obedient. And here's what Simeon or Simon means, because there's also another Simon in the scripture who was obedient, right? And it says, Simon metaphysically, and I'm getting this definition from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. So it means, Simeon means hearing, hearkening, obeying, understanding, announced, reported, reputed, or famous. So, in essence, Simeon was able to hear the voice of Spirit. Because something in him, right, prompted him to go to the temple at that time. He was guided. And in order to be guided, you have to be able to hear the message. Many of us are guided, but we're deaf. We don't hear. Or we hear, and then we don't do. It's very important. So Simon could hear the voice of Spirit, and it was his devout service to God that opened him up to the workings of the Holy Spirit. See, we've got to be opened up. The Spirit will work in you. The Spirit will guide you, teach you, direct you, heal you, bless you, comfort you. But you have to somehow be an open vessel, a receptive vessel. You've got to hear. You've got to hearken. You've got to be willing to let that Spirit move you and take you to where you need to be. So it's very important, because all of the people, we'll talk about that later, all of them heard this Spirit, whether it was Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, they all, right, heard the Holy Spirit and did what was said. So Simeon there was therefore, because he could hear, and that's what hear his name means, he was able to be present to witness the incarnation of the Christ, which is what he had been waiting for all of his particular life. He wanted to see that manifestation of the Christ. And so he was able, because of his devotion, his commitment, and his willingness to hear, and his receptivity to the Spirit, that he could be present at that wonderful time to witness the Messiah as Jesus the Christ. And then there's Anna. She happens to come along. Now, Anna is a bad sister. Because it says she was a prophetess, a prophet. Now, that in and of itself is highly unusual. Because as most of you know, most of the prophets in the Bible are what? Men. Okay? So to have for Anna to be a prophetess, but I'm looking at her life and she could not help but be anything other than a prophet or a prophetess, or however you want to call it. But so because it says that she was very unique, because she never left the temple. Now, think about this. The prophet is the one who brings wisdom and guidance and intuition and understanding and knowing. Your temple is your inner sanctuary, your inner being. Anna never left the consciousness of God. She never left that temple. She never left her awareness of who she was and who God was. And it says that she never left the temple, and that she had been there worshiping, fasting, and praying night and day. Night and day. And I counted up the number of years, and it is 77 years. Because she went to the temple after she had been married to her husband for 7 years, and she was 84. She'd been there praying night and day, fasting, worshiping in that temple, in that consciousness, never leaving it. See, when you have that kind of a consciousness, you have to be a prophetess, a saint, or even more than that, you see. 7 is very powerful, because it represents, and she had been married to her husband for 7 years. And she'd been in the temple for 77 years, right? 7, 7, double dose. So 7 means simply, it's a spiritual number that represents the divine law of perfection or completion. And so after her marriage, you know, her husband died. It was done. It was completed. And she moves on to then have 77 years, a double dose of this spiritual completion in her newfound expression and work. So because of that, she too was in the right place at the right time, right? To bear witness to this blessing of a lifetime. You see, when you are committed and devoted and right and to righteousness or right useness of the spiritual laws, and you want to use them properly and appropriately, you will always be guided to being in the right place at the right time. See, and guided, it won't be anything that you will have to do. You will be directed and guided by the movement of spirit if you are open and receptive to the movement of spirit. So you'll always be present for your blessings. You won't be able to miss your good. Simeon didn't miss his good. Anna couldn't miss her good. They were there because they had an understanding of being committed and devoted and righteous. So turn to somebody and tell them, I can't lose with the stuff I use. I can't lose with the stuff I use. And hopefully what you're using is the spiritual essence of life. See, when you come from that place of spirit, when you fast, and when we say fast, not just physical fasting, although that is a good thing to do from time to time, but we're talking about fasting from limitation, fasting from negativity. When you fast and you pray, and you're praying, you're affirming. You're fasting, you're eliminating, you're praying, you're affirming. When you fast and pray and worship and meditate and develop this consciousness and practice these spiritual laws for life, that is what's going to allow you to flow directly into God's blessings and guidance. I'm beginning to witness this in my own life. I'm telling you, something's happening because I can feel it, and I don't even have to think. It was when I get up, it's like Spirit saying, go over to that, get that book, and go look it over here, and this is what you need. And I get up, and it's like, oh, and it's just moving me. It's a beautiful thing. So what we need to get is this Anna consciousness, one that is, you know, committed night and day to the Spirit. Because that's the consciousness that leads you to the Christ consciousness, the ultimate, right? That's when we uncover. When you got an Anna consciousness, you cannot help but then have a Christ consciousness. Because that Anna consciousness, that commitment is going to lead you to Christ consciousness. Now, Anna's name means grace or gracious. And the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says that she represents this. It says she represents a certain conservation of spiritual life which has been built up by devotion and faithfulness. So she represents a certain conservation, a gathering of spiritual life, which has been an energy, which has been built up by devotion and faithfulness. It says this spiritual life is transmitted through many incarnations and becomes an inheritance of the soul. It is of great importance in the formation of the Christ body. Nothing is lost in the evolution of a soul. In other words, the more we pray, the more we fast from negativity and limitation, the more we worship, the more we meditate, the more this spiritual life force and this spiritual entity is built up in our souls. And it is the soul of us that will begin to build the Christ consciousness that we seek. And when you build something in your soul, it's never lost. See? And it carries over into, now whether or not you believe in, you know, reincarnation, I don't know, whatever. If it's not in this life, it carries over. Your soul carries over into the next life, which is what? Eternal life. So we're building every time we are thinking positively. Every time we're being faithful, every time we're holding on to the truth, every time we practice spiritual law, every time we love, we forgive, we raise up, all that is building up our souls, which we take into the next expression, into the next house that's been prepared for us. So this is a powerful thing. So she represents this building up of this energy. And so both she and Simeon were both, you know, devout, and they were faithful, and they were vessels. Because of that, they became vessels through which the Spirit could move. They became vessels through which the Spirit could then reveal the great truth that had come to humanity. Christ in manifestation. Christ in Jesus. So are you really ready to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to work through? You know, you got to be, yeah. And in order for you to be a vessel, you got to do some spiritual work. Pray, fast, meditate, not just when you need something. Right? You're building your consciousness. You're building your soul. You're taking yourself to another level. You must be like Anna, night and day, which means it's a metaphor for constant. This is what Paul said, you know, you got to pray constantly, every day, unceasingly, right? Giving thanks. And you can do that by simply saying thank you, thank you, thank you for everything. Building that energy in your spirit. You see, we each have this prophet within us. We do. We have the prophet. We have the Christ. We've got all these characters within us. We have a prophet within us. And when and as we commit to this whole experience of the Anna or the Simeon, of being devout, of praying, all that, then we will receive the insight and the guidance and the revelations that are needed at the right time for us to do whatever is ours to do or to be. Whatever you are called to do, when you are in touch with the prophet within, when you have built up this energy in your soul, you will be guided automatically to do what is yours to do. Things will open up. Things will begin to come to you without your having to ask. This is grace. See, Anna means grace, and grace. This is grace. The grace starts pouring upon you. I have so much grace happening. It's like, oh, God, this is just, I just am filled with it because stuff is just coming to me. I can't even get it out of my mouth. And here it comes. Beautiful, beautiful. So we will be led to the Christ within, to the Spirit of God within us. And we will then also be saved from the lower expressions of human consciousness. When you build this spiritual consciousness, that's what becomes your saving grace. You see, that's what saves you. Because when you have having the Christ consciousness and spirit within you and with you is what saves you from your sins. Now, sin, as we would discuss it in a New Thought and Unity way, we would define it as error consciousness, right? Missing the mark. That which causes us to believe and to feel and to act as if we actually are separate from God. See, when you act and think and believe that you are separate from God, look out, you're going to be in trouble. Trouble's not far behind, you see. This is what causes us to make mistakes and to express a lower consciousness or to be led by the ego instead of being led and directed and guided by God within us. It's a powerful thing. When you are led by the ego, you can be assured that you're going to experience a little bit of difficulty. Because when we're led by the ego, we become out of focused. You know, we start looking out here for everything, for our source, for our good. You got my good, you got my good. And we start becoming all of a sudden worried about what other people think about us or what other people might be doing to us. And then the ego, of course, gets very threatened. We become very self-centered. We become full of fear and limitation, right? We have this self-preservation going on to a fault, though. I'm going to defend myself and preserve myself no matter what. So now I'm going to go on the attack. That way I'll be truly defending myself. All of this stuff. And most of all, when we're led by the ego, we begin to become unconscious to who we really are. We fall asleep. So the ego then is what, you know, kind of destroys, not all the time. The super ego is good. That's a whole nother talk. But the ego itself kind of, you know, it makes us hold on to hurts, old hurts. I know some of you are holding on to some hurts that happened 20 years ago. The ego is what causes us to be suspicious of people. I think they're talking about me. They don't really like me. Right? And that's what the ego does. It causes us to be offended easily. Oh, I know you did that on purpose. You know, they did that. Mm-hmm. To feel threatened on every level by everybody. And all we end up doing is compounding our error consciousness, compounding our sins. Do you know that the first thing that Jesus, as the Christ, did and gave and said as he was starting his public ministry, you know his first message was? It was repent for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Now, repent means to kind of turn around. And he was kind of telling us, look, y'all need to turn around and get this together. Turn around from that outer world and turn within to the source of God, the source of truth. He was telling us, we got to turn within to the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you. It's at hand. It's very present. The other message that he gave right away at the beginning was that he said, look, your sins are forgiven. Your mistakes are forgiven. Your error consciousness is forgiven. You can give the truth for the error, which is forgiveness. That's the whole message. And this is what saves us. This is the whole message of why Jesus as the Savior was born, to help us to understand that we can be forgiven for our sins and our mistakes. Not the concept of what we think is sin, but you can turn around from the outside, come within, and begin to live from that point of view. That's the Christ consciousness that saves you. The Savior is born within you when you remember to turn within, to seek a higher consciousness, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That gift that Jesus left, that was the parting gift we got, was the Holy Spirit, who would teach, who would comfort, who would guide, who would heal, who would reveal, who would work in us, who would direct our lives and lead us to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of good. All of the persons in the Christmas story, except for Herod, because Herod represented what? The ego. But all the other people in the story were led either by an angel, Gabriel or some other angel, or they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled to take right act. They were moved to take right action. Right? Right action. And they were led to the discovery of this Christ, the Christ child. So, when we can allow ourselves to be filled with all things spirit, all things spiritual, being filled with it, when we can have this shift in our consciousness towards God, towards the good, towards that which is righteous, and use that right use of the spiritual law, when we are in alignment with spiritual laws and principles, then we too will be blessed beyond measure. We will find ourselves coming into our own true potential as the Christ of God, as joint heirs with God, as children of the Most High, subject to all the good that God is. See, we will not be able to miss our blessings because we'll be led in right and perfect ways. Grace will overflow in our lives, and we will know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. When you are running around, what should I do? How can I do it? And when do I do it? You are not in touch with spirit. When you become still and let the spirit move in you, you will know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. The Holy Spirit reveals. It gives insights. The whole Spirit of God will begin to guide and direct you. Angels will come. High thoughts in consciousness will automatically fill your mind and consciousness. And all you need to do is follow that inner guidance. Like Zechariah, Mary, Elizabeth, follow the guidance. That's what we have to do. Because all those folks were part of the consciousness that leads to the Christ within, which is our greatest gift. So it's up to us to unwrap the gift. You've been given the gift. You can't get a greater gift than what you have already been given. All this material stuff is nice, but you've been given the gift that really matters. But you must unwrap it. Pray, meditate, fast, worship, like Simeon and Anna. Right? Do all of these things. And when you begin to do this, I tell you, you will never be the same again. You will be saved from the error in your consciousness. You'll be saved from this lower vibration. And the truth then will be what sets you free. And the scripture says, if anybody is in Christ, he or she is free indeed. And I don't want you to think that it's too lofty or that it's even sacrilegious for you to think that you can achieve Christ consciousness. Because after all, that is why Jesus came. as the Christ, right? That is why he came. Not only to show the world who he was, but to show all of us who we are as children of the Most High. So it's time to step up and step into this consciousness, your higher consciousness as the Christ within you. And when you do that, the full power of Spirit will meet you and lead you into a life that is divine. So, beloved ones, I say the Christmas story has not ended. It is just beginning with you. So get ready for an amazing life as Christ in you. That's the hope of your glory. Namaste and blessings. Namaste and blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings.